And I'd like to ask Brother Matthew to please give the first address, the City of Jerusalem, past, present and future.
Well, my dear brothers and sisters, according to Tourist Israel, an online tourist website, Jerusalem is, and I quote, special in every sense of the word, and how accurate they really are. Now, looking into that website, they continue to describe the city as a city with a fourth dimension. They suggest all cities have three dimensions, but Jerusalem is so special it has a fourth, because Jerusalem also has the spiritual aspect attached to her. They say it's a surreal place, holy for Jews, for Muslims, for Christians, and it is significant for over one third of the world's population because of that. And as Tourist Israel says, it, and it quotes again, has to be seen to be believed. And so they really do sell Jerusalem as a place of wonder, a place to visit and to behold the beauty of her. And how we all would love to see Jerusalem. For some, they have been able to see her streets, to touch her walls, and to marvel at her beauty. But perhaps also in this day, mourned at how she is far removed from the city God requires her to be. But of course, as we also know, there is a promise. A promise that we can all see her. As Jerusalem is and always will be part of the central promises of Israel and all that she holds to. She will again be raised to the highest position, and there, amongst her stone walls and walking her narrow streets, the faithful will be blessed with a place in God's kingdom, and now greatly privileged to see Jerusalem in all her glory. There they will witness the greatest of events. They will see a king enter her gates and sit on the throne of David. They will see the temple of God built and many nations coming to worship there. They will see peace where for too long there was no peace. And they will see and hear the children playing as they safely run around the streets of Jerusalem, where the old and young together will talk of the mercies of God and how he has wrought a great victory over Israel's enemies. But this, so many times, seems a far-off prospect, a dream that wanders through our thoughts but never settles into reality. But it should never stop us wanting it, desiring it and praying for its speedy fulfillment. But more so when we look at the history of Jerusalem and the future prophecies concerning her rising from the chaos and sad predicament that she finds herself in currently. We all know that Jerusalem's history is incredibly complex. Surely there is more written about this one city than any other on this earth. But Jerusalem has gone through so much. How on earth has she withstood it all? Well, we first find in our scriptures Jerusalem as a city inhabited by the Jebusites. If we just cast our minds as we start looking at the history of Jerusalem in Joshua chapter 15. We cannot at all, of course, go into all the history of Jerusalem. But hopefully we will build this picture looking at the past to understand the future. From Joshua 15 and verse 63 we find, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. So to start with, the Jebusites dwelt in Jerusalem and could not be removed. And it was formerly known as Jebusai, if we find it in Joshua 18 and verse 28. Talking of the cities that made up the boundaries and the territory of Benjamin, we find that Zelah, Eleth, and Jebusai, verse 28, Jebusai, which is Jerusalem, and so on and so forth. And it's also referred to as Jebus in Judges 19 and verse 10. But we may have noticed in Joshua 15 that Judah could not initially conquer the Jebusites. But we find in Judges chapter 1 and verse 8, they finally did. Judges 1 verse 8, now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the fire, a city on fire. So Jerusalem was destroyed by the people of Judah. And it would seem that they had conquered the dwellers of the Jebusites. However, we also still read in Judges 1 and verse 21 that the Jebusites still had not been conquered. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And so it was that it remains in this state, it would seem, until a very faithful man came into Israel as king. The King David, a faithful man, a man after God's own heart, we are told, and that God was indeed with him. Now the people recognized David as the leader. Despite Saul of being king, it was not Saul that had led them. And so in 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 1, we read, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, and when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel." And so in verse 3 we are shown that according to the commandment of God, that David was anointed king. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Now David as king goes throughout the land and he comes to Jebus in verse 4. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab the son of Zeruiah went first up and was chief. So we find that David takes, finally, Jebus. And he dwells in the castle that is there, and it is formally named as the City of David now, which is confirmed in verse 7. And David dwelt in the castle, therefore they called it the City of David. And dwelling there, David now wished to develop Jerusalem, to build her up as his capital. And so in verse 8 we're told he built the city round about even from Milo round about, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. And this is a very simple record of how Jerusalem then came into the hands of the Israelites by this faithful man, David, finally. It is, though, a record of how Jerusalem began to grow in importance in Israel. It was not any city. It was now the seat of the king. It was the centre of his government. It was to be the place of central worship. And so David, in his faithful ways, now desired that the ark be brought up into the city of David. In 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. But we know, in David's desire, he forgot the important requirement that it was the priests that were to bring up the ark. And so after a failed attempt, David continued to prepare even further for the return of the ark. In 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 1, we are told that David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God, and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel. This was not a private affair. This was concerning the whole of Israel. And he gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it. And he succeeds. And oh, what joy it brought to the city and to David. Verse 26, and it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Kenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that we know how that Michael looked down upon David dancing and playing as they carried in the ark, and despised him in her heart, for she failed to see the great joy and importance of what was happening before her. Oh, what joy! At last, the ark was in the city of David, Jerusalem. Truly now, surely, the city was above all others, for it could be seen that God was in her. Now, although God does not require a physical place to dwell, David desired with all his heart to now build God a house in Jerusalem. He knew he could not, though, and he was told by God he could not, for he was a man of war, and he had spilt much blood. But now, with this faithful heart that he had, He prepared with all his might for that day. He was not discouraged at all to prepare for the house of his God. And he promised that this house would be magnificent. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. Perhaps it doesn't come out in the scriptures, but maybe David really was quite disappointed that he could not be the one to have fulfilled the building of the house of God. But he saw what was to be through Solomon. And so in verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 22, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries, not just Israel. Fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. And maybe there is a little hint to ourselves that we too must prepare with all our hearts abundantly before our death if Christ remains away. And so Solomon builds the house. And he now builds it out of the city of David up into Mount Moriah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. He moves it higher into the mountains. 2 Chronicles 3 and verse 1. Because it was to be the fame and glory of all countries, as David promised. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign. And it was as David required. It was excellent. It was great. And it was magnified. And it was situated where all could see. And Israel now had indeed a place that they could look to visit and to worship at and to pray to their God. And wherever they were, they could do so. For Solomon speaks of this in his prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 34. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And verse 38. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, so far removed from Israel, whither they have carried them captives, and pray towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen. And toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. So Solomon saw the importance now of Jerusalem and of the house of God. It was a place that the people, wherever they could be, could direct their prayers towards God. But we know that God does not require his people to pray towards Jerusalem to be heard. For he can hear wherever his people are. But surely it was a recognition that it was in Israel in Jerusalem, where they should desire to worship God in truth. And God could be found there. And Daniel, that faithful man in Babylon, how he saw the importance of such an action. In Daniel chapter 6. And verse 10. Despite those that desired to kill him. Daniel 6 verse 10. And behold. In verse chapter 10. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Where was he? He was in a strange land. He was amongst idol worshippers. They were devoid of God. And how he desired to be back in Jerusalem. And so he prayed toward the place he knew God had chosen. So Jerusalem was now set up as a place Israel could worship God. And God declared that it was the place, as we've already noted in other passages, the place that he himself had now chosen, out of all the tribes that he could have chosen to place his name. Returning back to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. This is Solomon again talking. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now with this in mind, Jerusalem should then have been a haven of peace, of true worship toward God. Because this is how David saw it in Psalm 48. Psalm 48 verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. And then verse 12. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. That's how David viewed it. That's how he saw Jerusalem. But sadly, we know that the kings were men. They had natures of sin, subject to lust and fleshly desires. And although he started well, we know that even from as early as David's son, Solomon, they fell away. 1 Kings chapter 11. Despite all that David had done, and despite what Solomon had seen, and was now witnessing in such a peaceful time. 1 Kings 11 and verse 7. We have this sad scenario. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. He brought Gentile worship before Jerusalem, the city that God had chosen. And idol worship was now before the city of God. And he turned from following God. And the kingdom was to be rent from him in 1 Kings 11 verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. And then verse 36, and unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David, my servant, may have a light alway before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And so now began the turbulent history of Israel and Judah. But Jerusalem fell so many times away from the ways of God. Many kings walked after the imagination of their own hearts. And God then was moved to punish them. And he declared in Israel through the prophet that Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Too many times they were removed from their land. But the faithful never forgot Jerusalem's beauty. Oh, how they wished to be back in the city of their God. Psalm 137. Speaks of such sadness in the days of captivity. For by the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. David sang with joy and danced in her streets. But now they hung up the instruments of music. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Well, we know they did come back from captivity, and how the faithful must have rejoiced once again. But despite this, it was predicted once again that they would be removed. For therefore shall Zion for your sake be ploughed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. AD 70 came. A point in Israel's history we all know too well. But it concluded a period in Jerusalem's history where even Christ mourned for the city. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. But this is the incredible thing. God has promised the following in the chapter that we have read, Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And God then has a purpose with his people and with his city, Israel to be regathered, Jerusalem to be once more raised up, God known in all the earth. And in 1948, a major step towards that happened, for Israel were regathered, but still not at peace. They had wars and conflicts with the Arab states. Israel split between Israelis and Jordanians. As we say, Jerusalem split between Israel and Jordanians. But in 1967, they gained the whole of Jerusalem once again and declared the capital of Israel. But how we know that was rejected by the Palestinians and by many others who claim East Jerusalem as their capital of their future state. And so now we find Jerusalem in her current state, still suffering from those that are around her. But this part fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12, verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So what of Jerusalem today? What of her? If you allow me, I quote from Encyclopedia Britannica. Despite a rapidly changing demography, Jerusalem has retained a diverse and cosmopolitan character, particularly in the walled old city with its Armenian, Christian, Jewish and Muslim quarters. Arabs in traditional and modern attire, Christians, Western and Oriental, in their infinite variety of secular garb and monistic vestments, Jews in casual and orthodox dress, and hosts of tourists combine in colourful kaleidoscopic patterns. Synagogues, churches, mosques, and dwellings in various styles make up the city's unique architectural mosaic. Jerusalem is now multicultural, splintered, multi-religious. For Jews, Christians and Muslims, amongst others, all claim her as theirs. And again, Encyclopedia Britannica states, Jerusalem has been a contested city for much of its history and remains one today. The sacred nature of the city for three religious community has led to competing religious, political and historical narratives. And it continues, the hope that future governance of the city can be resolved in a just manner in the framework of a negotiated agreement between the parties remains the outstanding desire of the international community, as well as the majority of Israeli Jews and Palestinian Arabs. But we know that this is highly unlikely until the king whose right it is returns. But despite such a sad state, Tourist Israel describes Old Jerusalem as follows: serene, surreal, And intense are the words which jump to mind when describing this 1 square kilometre walled area, holy to Jews, Muslims and Christians, perhaps the capital of world religion. I interestingly looked at TripAdvisor to see what people spoke of Jerusalem, more importantly, the old city. Many have tried to describe Jerusalem as they see her today. And I quote 3 that I found. Jerusalem has a feeling and atmosphere which can never be described in words, and no picture can make it justice. What a shock to discover Jerusalem. For all religion and for everybody, it is such a historical and wonderful place. No matter who you are or what your upbringing is, no matter what religion you are, you will find something to love in Jerusalem. You will see things that will amaze you. And so it would appear on the outset, does it not? Does it not appear that Jerusalem has not lost her beauty? At least to man, anyway. To God, she has fallen from grace and in desperate need of healing. But first, though, more pain must come. For we know that once more Jerusalem must be fought over. Zechariah declares, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." O Jerusalem, how you will suffer! How your streets shall once more be filled with the sound of war, and all hope will fade as many are taken away. Will not God intervene, we may hear them say? Will not our God save us? Yes, oh yes, for this is the moment God will send forth his Son, and he will come with glory and great power to take vengeance on Jerusalem's enemies. For thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people, Behold, I have taken out of thine hands the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. What words our God speaks to us of what he shall do to Zion. And so once more the words of Zechariah will be fulfilled in the 8th chapter. And verse 1, Again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. And it continues in verse 7 how he will draw his people back to Jerusalem. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And then, returning to Isaiah 62, Israel, Isaiah's prophecy, will be brought to pass. Isaiah chapter 62, and verse 10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Well, once God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, takes back Jerusalem and saves his people, he once more set his temple in Jerusalem. Turning back to Isaiah chapter 2. And verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and he will walk, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. How the faithful and ourselves look for that time. Gone will be the temples and idols of men. No more will the dome of the rock be seen. The church of the holy sepulchre will be removed, and the western wall shall not be required. Jerusalem will be purged from all things that make her impure, and her true beauty will return, and she shall be as the crown of glory in the hand of God. Isaiah 62 and verse 3. Thou, speaking of Zion, shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Therefore, God says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For I, behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Jerusalem will return to how she was intended to be, even like the days that we spoke of at the beginning of our address, when David brought up the ark into the city of David. But how much grander it will be. There, the king will reign once more. Isaiah 24. And verse 23. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. And as a result, the government will sit there, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And as we've already seen, the temple will be built again. Oh, what joy will be here. What peace shall be experienced. The days are quickly flying. Christ will return again. For the faithful, this day cannot come soon enough. For those found worthy, this day will be far above anything experienced. And the words of Isaiah shall be fulfilled across the land. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now in the last days we must declare and speak Psalm 122. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God,